This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday evening edition of The Yard. I've been kind of waiting. We had some commitments we're expecting today. Still waiting on one that may happen during the show. We're going to break down a pretty wild weekend in Stark Vegas. A very successful weekend for Coach Jeff Lebby and his staff. And, of course, we pick up another baseball portal transfer commitment today. Probably our best to date in many respects. But, things are moving. Things are moving, shall we say. Big news day at Starkville today, too, is Victoria Vivians is headed home to be an assistant basketball coach at Mississippi State. I love this move by Sam Purcell because, it bridges the gap from the present to the glory past, right? If anybody understands what it takes to win and win big at Mississippi State, it's Victoria Vivians, who was part of some of the greatest teams, not just in Mississippi State history, but in SEC history. Of course, played for back-to-back NAFL championships. Couldn't get it done, but this is a great move, and it's in the right direction. And I want to commend Sam Purcell for that. The mood has been very, very well received, as one would imagine. And I think so much of that is just because of the fact that, you know, Victoria is one of the most special players in the history of the Mississippi State women's basketball program. And I think the edge and energy that she brings to the staff will be very, very good. She has credibility within the locker room. She knows what it means to win in a Southeastern Conference and in the highest level of the NCAA tournament. And she also is a player that turned down multiple opportunities to leave the state to stay home. I think this is an absolute home run hire, as Sam Purcell said as much today. I just can't even begin to imagine, you know, what those meetings will be like. You know, Victoria, obviously, a very well-decorated player, but also, too, just a fearless competitor. So great news on the women's basketball front. I want to make sure we mention that at the top of the show because I would argue that might be the most significant development of the day, to be quite honest with you. It's true. I know many of you feel the same way. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I had Bulldog Burger Company for dinner last night. I had the Bulldog with some onion rings and a Diet Coke. And it was fabulous. I finished the whole thing because I was absolutely famished. I can't remember what the bride had. I just went and picked it up, right? I don't know. Think about it. She had the mission with extra onions. It's true. Sometimes I think she does that just to mess with me, right? If I eat an uncooked onion, I'm going to be sick the rest of the day. That's just how I'm built. She loves them. Absolutely loves them. But it was great service as always. Went in there and really cool guy bagged up my order. Has longer hair. Said he's getting it trimmed. I advised him not to. Of course, we're talking about my son, Ian. Father's Day. Got my Father's Day hug from him. And so there we go. But yeah, if you're looking for great nourishment at a great price, great atmosphere, Bulldog Burger Company is the place to go. Get those spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Be sure and go check them out next time that you're in town. Make it a date night. Make it a family night. Make it a dinner or lunch with colleagues. You know, Mississippi State uses Bulldog Burger Company a lot. We bring recruits to town and we say, hey, we want to roll out the big maroon carpet. Let's take everybody to Bulldog. That's what we do. Very successful. It's true. Got to put your best foot forward. You know, when Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN came to Starkville to interview me for that great story that ESPN ran about the Hugh Freeze situation, we broke bread at Bulldog Burger Company. It's true. We did. There. I can take you right to where we sat. The historic chair and tables. Yeah. So Mark comes to town and he's like, hey, where do you want to eat? I said, what are you in the mood for? He goes, you know, I kind of feel like a great restaurant quality hamburger. Mark, I know just the place. So we went to Bulldog and he loved it. Absolutely loved it. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, we have received 9 commitments from 15 of our official visitors over the weekend. Now, 2 of those have not made those commitments public yet, and so we're going to save that information and let those young men have their moment. We have stories ready to go with quotes and all that good stuff, but we're not going to deny those people the chance to break their own news. It's a different day and time than the way that I came up. In the beginning, these kids didn't have all the social media stuff. And so you went to a press conference at a high school and you hoped that you had it right. Then you would get a video interview and take pictures and all that good stuff. And been all over this country doing that. And so nowadays, kids are kind of, pardon me, taking the power of their own announcement. Everybody loves the graphic, and we're more than happy to provide those for them as well. Got a graphics guy on staff, Nathan Purvis. Nate Dogg, doing a great job for us, man. I can't begin to tell you how tireless that guy is in his efforts. It's amazing. I can just say, hey, this guy's going to visit this weekend. Let's be prepared. And like 5 minutes later, I've got a professional-grade graphic. Yeah, I actually hope this turns into something more full-time for him. I mean, I like to bring in winners around me and then help them win. That's what I want to do. I want people to come and eventually be website publishers or move on to bigger and better things. I've got a couple lifers already, and Dave Murray and Mike Nemeth, you know. But when I've got young people coming up under my supervision, I want them to be as best they can be, and I don't want to hold on to them. Same thing with Neil Stopchinski. You know, Neil, of course, used to be talent evaluator under Dan Mullen. So I'd love for them to say, you know what, hey, we're going to hire Neil back at Mississippi State. I'd love it. It'd be great for Mississippi State. Wouldn't be great for me, but it'd be great for Mississippi State. That's always something you have to consider, right? You want to, like they always talk about, you know, a rising tide raises all ships, right? You want to give people opportunity. And Jeff Lebby, giving a lot of people some opportunity over the course of the last couple days. And so we're going to break it down, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about football recruiting. Going to be an even bigger weekend this weekend. Going to be 20-plus visitors in town. We've already confirmed, I think, 2021. Yeah, things change, but by and large, when guys make official visit dates, they tend to keep them. There's always a little ebb and flow. Last week, we had a couple guys pop off and a couple guys pop on. So let's run it back, Bulldog fans, because Saturday night was all right for fighting, as Elton John would say, and a lot of these commitments went ahead and announced. You know, had an Instagram Live, you had social media stuff. We had already pre-written a couple stories. And so let's just kind of run it back here. We'll start with Steve Miller. Abracadabra, right? Steve joins the program, had a chance to speak to him, rated 89 by 247. He is an 87.52 composite, which means that 247 actually has him rated higher than the industry average. Over 20 offers for Steve. He'll come in as a safety. He is talented enough to play on both sides of the football, but he has been targeted as a safety. State beats out Arkansas, UConn, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Indiana, Kansas, Kennesaw State, Liberty, LSU, Maryland, Memphis, NC State, Oregon State, SEMO, Tennessee, Tulane, UAB, Vanderbilt, West Virginia, and Western Kentucky, among many others. Had a chance to speak to Steve. Really excited about everything. Very, very well connected with Corey Bell. I think in a pinch, he could play corner. I just think this is a guy, too, at 6'2", 185, when you put him in a college weight room, he's going to outgrow that position. May end up being like a free safety, maybe. Maybe. A guy that I think is locked in at corner, though, is Darian Horsley. I'll tell you, you guys are going to love Darian Horsley. You're absolutely going to love this kid, man. And so incredibly well-spoken, so respectful, intelligent young man. Rated an 87 by 247 Sports. The rest of the composite has not been compiled because the rest of the industry hadn't rated him yet. He needs to get another ranking from somebody on three, Rivals, ESPN, somebody will have a composite ranking. He was set to commit to East Carolina today. And his mom and his coaches are like, hey, you owe it to yourself to take the visit to Mississippi State and see how things go. He visited ECU last weekend. The most recent weekend, he was at Mississippi State. So State beats out East Carolina, Georgia State, Marshall, Troy, South Florida, Western Kentucky, among others. Watching his film, I'm very intrigued by him. Number one, because of the length. You know, the catch radius is something you always have to consider when recruiting offensive and defensive skill. You can't go out there with a bunch of squat corners and expect to stop a high-powered offense. Just life just doesn't work that way. I mean, you guys need guys that can run, but you need guys with length that make it difficult to throw the fade against them. Guys can get in there and pull that ball out. And Horsley, I think, is a guy that a lot of people are going to be excited that we have. I don't care what he's ranked. Watch the film. I think he's probably a little bit undervalued, though. All right, Sekou Smith Jr., and no, he is not the son of former Mississippi State beat writer and Clarion Ledger leader, Sekou Smith, that left us and eventually landed with the Miami Heat. As you know, Sekou died a couple years ago, God rest his soul. Now, Sekou Smith's father is Sekou Smith, but he is still living and is not a beat writer in sports. Had a chance to speak to Sekou yesterday. Extremely excited, and took a visit to Missouri last week. He's a guy that's rated as an 86, which for 247 is about a shade below the industry average. Most people have him like an 87. I haven't watched his film yet, to be honest with you, but the offer sheet is rather interesting. And what's so funny, people say, but Steve, with all these offers, why aren't you rated high? Well, part of that's because a lot of these springtime offers are kind of getting the boat offers, and I haven't confirmed these. I'm just going to go by what we see on tape. If the offer sheet doesn't match the tape, guys don't get rated as high. Sometimes the tape exceeds the offer sheet. We've had several of those in the Deep South. You know, it's like if LSU or Alabama or Georgia offer, then he must be good. You know, there's some people that evaluate that way. They're offer counters. I'm not built like that. And I can tell you, at 247, our evaluation team is not the same is the recruiting team. What I mean by that is the people that are on the national level that are calling recruits and breaking big stories with the top players in the country, they don't have any say in the rankings. And the guys in the rankings don't communicate with the kids. There's a separation of power in that respect, which I think is probably the best. We have had situations in the past, and I know it hurts people's feelings when I talk about this, and let me look around here and see if I can't find some sympathy for them. But when we were with Scout, we had video when nobody else did. I mean, before Huddle did. And so networks would come watch our video and then rank our players based on the video that we provided. Nowadays, it's a little different. There are a lot of people out there that trade access for rankings. It's true. You may not believe it, but it's true. And I don't believe that we do that, at least not in the South with 247. But I know there are some regions of the country, and there are some schools that are kind of sacred cows that get the benefit of the doubt. You know, the thing that I would share about that is everybody said, oh, well, Alabama offered this kid. You know, under Nick Saban, you know how many dead offers they would extend? A lot of times those offers were just an invitation to camp, and they go to camp and never hear from Alabama again. It looks good on signing day when you can say, hey, Mississippi State signed this kid over Alabama. It looks good, but just because a kid is reporting or claiming an offer doesn't necessarily mean he can commit to said school. Melvin Smith told me years ago, there's nothing wrong with a kid thinking he has an offer. There's nothing wrong with that until he tries to commit. Right? There's nothing out there if a kid's out there on social media, whatever, putting out Mississippi State, I'm going to be at State, that's good marketing for us. But back to Sekou Smith here. He's got an impressive offer sheet. And again, I haven't watched the film yet, but he's got claiming offers from Arizona, Louisville, Maryland, Miami, Missouri, Ole Miss, Syracuse, Temple, Texas A&M, Toledo, Western Kentucky. And you feel pretty confident about that Missouri offer because they brought him in for an official visit. So you feel like, hey, you know, this guy's got some SEC interest, got some legitimate, committable SEC opportunities. Yeah. Josiah Clemens, another one of the guys that went on Friday. We had five on Saturday. No surprise here. Josiah Clemens, of course, was a guy that Cody Kennedy brought in back in February. And it was only like three guys here. I think it was like Jack Richardson. And then we had, I think, a transfer portal kid that we ultimately didn't sign. And then Josiah Clemens. And Josiah Clemens, 6'7", 335 pounds. So they liked the raw materials, wanted to see him in camp. He comes to camp, has a great camp, gets an offer, sets up an official visit. Now he's committed to Mississippi State. We've been covering this guy, you know, now for 4 months. And as far as offensive linemen go, I love it. And you look at the offer sheet and you say, you know what, Steve, there's not a whole lot of things on here that raise the eyebrow. And you know what, I'm okay with that too. But right at double-digit offers, but it's mainly G5 stuff. We're the only Power 5 school in the mix here with him. But you can afford to take a chance on a kid like that from your home state because you can afford to be patient with him, right? Because a lot of those guys come in here from out of state. If they're not playing major snaps in 2 years, they're going to hit the portal. This is a guy that I think will come in understanding that he needs to be developed. And, man, with that stature, man, you get so excited about that, right? It's very, very exciting to think about that, you know, what he can be in time. We also picked up the commitment of Kapiah Lincoln Community College linebacker LaKendrick James. And that should be a familiar name to you Bulldog recruitniks. When he was coming out of Northside High School a couple years ago, it was a really good year in the Delta, and State did well. You know, Kelly Jones is part of that little Delta clique too. It was a really good year in the Delta, and LaKendrick was right in the middle of that. He came to Big Dog Camp to commit. I probably still have his commitment interview somewhere on a recorder. They didn't take him. He ends up going to junior college, and now he's bouncing back. And you go look at his film, I think you're going to be excited about him. He's 6'2", 217 pounds, and can really run. He has really good tape. He's a very violent hitter. And in this league, you have to be violent to play linebacker. And I think LaKendrick is a great get for us when you start looking at this linebacker class you're putting together. I think you feel really good about where you are. If you can add Tyler Lockhart to it, who's supposed to officially visit this weekend, not that I'm expecting a flip this weekend, I think you feel really good about the direction of that position group. Now, a couple other guys that went on Sunday, Christopher Johnson was one. Christopher Johnson, a 6'3", 260-pound defensive tackle. Used to be Robert E. Lee High School. Now it's Percy Julian High School there in Montgomery, Alabama. This is a guy that's got, you know, double-digit offers, mainly from the G5, Alabama State, Alcorn State, East Carolina, Grambling State, Jacksonville State, Marshall, Memphis, North Alabama, Tennessee State, Toledo, Troy, Tulane, UAB, and then you get to Vanderbilt and West Virginia. So he does have, you know, multiple Power 5 opportunities and offers, but he is not what you'd call a highly coveted guy. I'll tell you this, though. Go watch his film and see what you think. We have him rated as an 85. I think that's a shade low. The industry average is closer to 87. So we get him bumped up a couple points. I think we'll feel good about that. But here's the thing. When you go watch the film, I think you kind of realize that this is one of those diamonds in the rough type guys. And you can't make a living just off signing diamonds in the rough. You've got to get some difference makers. But he is 6'3", 260 pounds right now. 1 year in a college weight room, he'll be 290. He is destined to play inside. He's not going to be able to trim up enough to play on the edge. I don't know. I could talk all day about that. Whenever you look at recruits in their present condition, whether it be on film or in person, in camps, in a ball game, whatever, imagine what they're going to be with 25 pounds on them, because that's what's going to happen. More times than not, they're going to put on 25 pounds. And when you look at the defensive side of the thing, like a lot of corners, especially those guys who don't have a lot of length, you know, but they've got a wide frame, those guys are going to put on 25 pounds and become safeties. And you're going to have some guys you sign as a high school safety that grow into a linebacker. And you're going to have some linebackers that grow into an edge piece. And you're going to have some guys that play on the edge in high school, like Jaden Cromedy, going to bulk up, play inside. May play a five tech at times, but more times than not, they're going to be a three, a shade, a nose. You know, that's where it comes from. And that's the reason that you see so many true defensive tackles have an offer sheet a mile long, is because it's so rare to find a guy with that stature and the explosiveness and athleticism to play major college football. So everybody offers them. But that's the way you have to look at on the defensive side of the football. You know, and obviously you got some big jumbo X's out there on the offensive side that can grow into a flex tight end. There's a lot of that, but especially on defense, you're always forecasting, you know, what are they going to look like with 25 pounds on them? Again, I've watched a little bit of Chris Johnson's tape. I think that he's got a chance to be a really good player. But again, he's probably a guy that's probably a year or two down the road. Got to add the mass and learn to get nimble and quick at a new playing weight. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, today so far, there's been one football commitment announced, and that is Kevante Koa-Henry. Big-time recruit out of high school, went to Lawndale High School, and was committed to Michigan, and then ultimately signed with Oklahoma, and was there when Jeff Lebby was there, went into the transfer portal, had to go to junior college at Cerritos College there in Lawndale, California. State beats out Oregon State, Utah State for him. It's a couple Power 5 opportunities there, but this is about relationships. This is a guy that's going to be a Jack linebacker. You know, in this scheme, we talk about guys that can play with their hand on the ground or stand up and defend out in the flats. Kevontae certainly has that ability. And a guy, too, when he first hit the radar last year, there was some discussion last year. You know, he wouldn't be able to get out in time. But he is a guy that's been on the radar for a long time. And, again, Jeff Lebby and him have a pre-existing relationship. He announced just, I guess, 20 minutes before we started recording the show. So, as it stands right now, as far as public declarations go, there are 11. Now, some would say, Steve, I don't believe in these private commitments. Well, they're not really private commitments. They've already given us quotes for their story. They already have their graphics. And there's one, again, we expect to go this evening. I guess it could go tomorrow. And another one later this week. There's a visitor from the weekend. And that'll bring your class to right at 13. Now, I don't think that we're going to take more than, say, 19, 20 high school players. And, of course, you got a couple of JUCO guys in the mix now. But as it stands right now, you got 9 high school players committed and a couple of JUCOs. And, of course, there will be some portal opportunity later. Got to get LeKendrick James and Kevontae Henry both rated. I have sent their names into our junior college evaluator. So hopefully in the next 24 to 48 hours, we'll have rankings next to their names. As it stands today, ranked as the 55th class in the country. So get those guys ranked. You should move into the top 50. And a lot of this, too, is just it's a matter of quantity and not just quality. But here's the thing. Mississippi State has got to get some more four-star type players. And I don't just mean guys that have four stars next to their name. I mean guys that, whether they're rated that or not, you've got to get guys that make that kind of four-star, five-star type difference. There's only a handful of five stars out there, traditionally 25 to 30 a year. Sometimes I guess it gets to be as many as 50. When I was with Scout, we would do a top 300. The top 50 players had five stars, and then the next 250 had four. And some other people in the industry were like, well, wait a minute. Maybe one year you have more than 55 stars. Well, let me tell you this. Chances are you probably don't. That's one of the things that happened. And people in our industry are like, hey, let's go award a whole bunch of stars because all of a sudden it makes people feel better about the recruiting class. A lot of people say, hey, well, look at the offer sheet. Well, you know, there's a lot of those kids out there that will claim offers they don't have. And sometimes it's miscommunicated to them. Like when I see like a wide receiver get offered by the defensive line coach, I just don't think that's a real offer. Now, I'm not saying the kid is making it up. I'm saying that the coach may be the area recruiter, and he may just kind of throw a verbal at a kid, and then you never get the official offer. If the position coach offers him, I have a tendency to believe that that's a committable and bona fide offer. But there's a lot of times you'll look at that and you'll see, you know, a corner's coach will offer an offensive lineman. You know, or, you know, a linebacker's coach law for a quarterback. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense because why would they not talk to the position coach when that offer is being extended? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to do the math for yourself, kids. You do. I am not always going to be here to help lead you through that. But I'm just telling you based on my experience, that's really the case. But, yeah, we expect a couple more players. Both of them on one of those on offense, one of them on defense this week. And then we get into this weekend's visits, and I'll be cleaning up the visit list that's listed. If you go to 247, you don't have to be a subscriber. We actually have a really nice database. Even if you're not a subscriber, you go to Football Recruiting, and you can click on Official Visits, and it'll tell you who's coming in. Yeah, just click it right there. And yeah, as it stands right now, we currently have 22 guys on the visit list for this weekend as of now. And we'll work through that, of course, confirming with kids this week. Kind of make sure who's coming and who's not. You know, that's a big part of it. But there's some beef in here. And we talk about some star power, right? You got Dramond Odoms, offensive tackle from Lamar High School in Houston, Texas. He's a four-star rated at 94. Tyler Lockhart, of course, his brother TJ and his best friend Fat Clark both signed with Mississippi State. Kind of surprised us when he committed to Auburn. There was some chatter that Auburn was making a move, but I don't think he ultimately signs with them. But he's going to be in this weekend. Then, of course, QB1, Kamario Taylor, four-star. Cortez Thomas, I absolutely love his game. Saw him play last year in person against Indianola Gentry. Absolutely love him. He was just on campus, led his team to a 7-on-7 championship. Just behind him is Kevin Otis, a defensive lineman out of Hattiesburg. I think there's a chance we get some news on him soon. Kevin has been a Bulldog lean for a while and also rated a four-star. Cardi Smith from Williamson, He's been to campus before. He's currently committed to Auburn. I think it's going to be tough to pull him from them. Mario Nash, another four-star guy, visited LSU last weekend. It has primarily been a Mississippi State, Florida State deal, much of his recruitment. Now LSU is in. Will LSU take him as a guard? Well, I kind of had to wait and see. But the Mario guy that just down the road there in Kipper County, I know that Mississippi State has done a really good job with him throughout this process. I still expect him to be a Bulldog, though I do admit LSU's recent interest has my attention. Tyshawn Willis, a Mississippi State commitment, also ready to four-star. He's going to be here this weekend. Anson Lewis, guy that's from my hometown, Columbia High School, recently changed high schools, going to Oak Grove. Had a coaching change there. Chip Bilderback has left and is headed to join his wife, who coaches women's basketball at Louisiana Monroe. And so Anson made the jump to Oak Grove, a four-star, a guy that Chad Bumpus has been on for the better part of a year now. He loves Chad. I won't be surprised if he makes a decision too. Furzell Shepherd, also a four-star guy, wide receiver out of Scotlandville Magnet. That's out of North Baton Rouge. Don't know a lot about him other than the fact that he's got four stars next to his name and he's supposed to visit this weekend. Again, we'll confirm. And then from there, you know, you've got a nice little run of three stars, and a lot of these guys are committed to other programs. And so that's one thing that I hear a lot is like, Steve, why don't we recruit other committed players? Well, just kind of running the numbers here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right now, of the 22 visitors expected, 8 of them are committed to other programs. Yeah, Jeff Lebby's not going to be part of, some little gentleman's agreement or whatever. But you start running the numbers here and you kind of begin to realize there's some dudes, you know, coming in this weekend. Absolutely are. And I expect some of those guys to commit. And some of those guys are going to have a few more stars next to their name than maybe you expect. And so I think last weekend was a big run on numbers. And I don't know that you match that this week. But I think of the guys that commit, there are going to be some guys that are pretty highly coveted and some names that you know. And so I think this class is getting better. And I think it's just a matter of being patient. That's one of the things that I think is so incredibly important. It's just being patient. Because you say, we're not doing anything in recruiting. And all of a sudden you look up, we go from 4 commitments to basically 13. And I share that with you because of the fact that I'm not always necessarily a trust the coaches guy. But I can tell you this, that some of these guys that committed this weekend could have committed earlier in this process. That's one of the reasons that I share what I share, is because I think it's important to understand, you know, sometimes you hold some of this stuff, you know, for maximum impact. And then, like right now, everybody's talking about it, right? Everybody's like, hey, look at Mississippi State. Look at what Mississippi State did over the weekend. Now, if you get a commitment here, get a commitment there. You know, Mullen used to do this at Big Dog Camp. And sometimes, too, you want to kind of schedule commitments, too. When you know guys that are ready to go and say, hey, listen, I know you're ready to commit and we've accepted your commitment, but before you announce, why don't we do it on a weekend where we kind of get some excitement going on a weekend or at an event, whether it be the Big Dog event or a cookout or something like that. Let's save that and get the most PR, the most bang for our buck. That happens all the time in college recruiting. Mississippi State's done a really good job of that at times, and other times maybe not so much. Sometimes we're just so happy to get a commitment out there, we want to keep it going. But sometimes when you've got a bunch of guys here that may be on the fence, you bring them in, you had the visit, everybody's feeling good, looking good, they've been to Bulldog Burger Company, they've had their photo shoot, and it's like, man, this is where I want to be. I'm going to go ahead and commit. And he's like, man, I've been thinking about it too. Let me just go ahead, right? It's true. And so that's good recruiting, is maximizing the impact of your commitment announcements when they bring the best benefit to you and your program and your class. I think that's very, very significant, and it tells me that Jeff Lebby has a good idea of what he's doing here with all this stuff. And so just kind of hang in there. Now, I was at an event here recently, and somebody said, you know what, Steve, there's only 4 commitments. I mean, we're not doing a good job, you know, recruiting. I think people now feel like, okay, well, yeah, maybe we're doing better than I thought, but we need to get some bigger names. I absolutely agree. And I think some of those bigger names are going to come here in the next 7 days. I think once you get through the weekend, I think there's going to be some other guys out there, and you think, okay, now I feel a little bit better about things. Now I can enjoy my summer. That's perfectly fair. We're all shareholders in this thing, right? Every one of us. You buy the shirts, you buy the tickets, you travel the team, you get the subscription to Gene's page. You feel like, hey, I'm invested in this thing, and I expect our staff to deliver. And I think you as better as things feel today, I think come next Monday, you're going to feel even better about this recruiting class. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is our friend in the mortgage industry. If you're looking for a game day condo, which may prove to be more affordable than you think, thinking about a possible retirement home, maybe that's the move. Get the game day condo, come up here on weekends, enjoy all that, and then when you become an empty nester and you're able to retire, you just sell the whole house and you pay off his condo and live in Stark Vegas and come enjoy the ball games with the rest of us. Come be our neighbor. Yeah. And you won't have that big yard to cut anymore either. Or maybe you're looking to get started in life. Maybe there's a reset in life. Maybe you're graduating college. Maybe you're getting married and it's time to plant some roots. Blair Chandler can get that done for you. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair can be your advocate with underwriting, 23 years of experience. He knows how to structure loans to give them the best chance to be approved. And here's the thing, too. A lot of people are buying a home for the first time. It's good to get pre-qualified. So let Blair get you pre-qualified and kind of give you a range of what you're looking for. You'll also know what your payments will likely be. And so your real estate agent will have that qualification letter. And so you know what? This is somebody that I know is going to be able to sign closing documents. And we're all going to get paid. They're all going to get in the house. And everybody's going to be happy. You want to see a motivated real estate agent, get pre-qualified. Blair can help you with every bit of that. Again, that's closewithblair.com. All right, our friend Melanie Moody, a regular contributor to the top 10 list, was inspired by this recent documentary on the Brat Pack. Now, those of you that grew up in the 80s, you know I'm talking about the Brat Pack. There was a lot of young actors that really became legends. I think if we're being fair about it, right, they became legends. Do you remember the Brat Pack? Let me run it down for you. I've had so many tabs open doing my research for this. But, you know, the Brat Pack, by and large, was considered, and there's some other people kind of on the outside here, James Spader, Robert Downey Jr., Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, Ally Sheedy. Those were kind of the main ones. But what's interesting about that, too, is Andrew McCarthy said, hey, I'm not really a Brat Packer, but yet he's the one that's done the documentary. Yeah, right. There are a few other people that were kind of fringe members. But so what we have done here is we have taken some of our favorite Brat Pack movies and picked a song off of the soundtrack for our top 10 today. It's required more research than we've had in a while. All right, are we good with that? Kind of a diverse list too. And we're going to start with The Outsiders. A lot of people know that book written by I.C. Hinton. It's a classic book. It's got Matt Dillon, Patrick Swayze, Tom Cruise, C. Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio's in the movie, Rob Lowe's in the movie, Emilio Estevez is in the movie. It is a star-studded cast. It is worthy of your viewing time and pleasure. From that movie, we're going to go with Stay Gold for Stay Golden, Pony Boy. That's right. It's where it comes from. Performed by Stevie Wonder. From the Outsider soundtrack, number 10 track is Stay Gold by Stevie Wonder. Kind of a timeless track, too. Now, we're going to segue now into a punk rock song from the great movie Class. Now, Jacqueline Bisette was in this one. Of course, this was really kind of the first cougar movie, in many respects, of this era. And it was great. Now, all of a sudden, you know, all of us were like, hey, you know, maybe I want a mom, too. Right? Now there's a whole industry behind that. But from the movie Class that featured Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy, they were best friends. Rob was a bit of a playboy, and Andrew was kind of a do-gooder. And lo and behold, he ends up having some liaisons with Rob Lowe's character, Franklin Burroughs IV, his mother. Yeah, yeah. So we're going Holidays in Cambodia from Dead Kennedys. Only on this show can we go from Stevie Wonder to the Dead Kennedys. All right, number 8, another individual I don't think has ever been mentioned on the top 10 list. It's from the movie About Last Night. Demi Moore was in this. She was absolutely fabulous. One of my favorite lines in the movie is they're sitting there and they're arguing. And And so he asked, Rob Lowe asked me more about this guy and says, hey, well, did you sleep with him? And he, she says, no, Dan, we were bowling partners. Yeah. Yeah. And so from that movie, we're going words into action from Jermaine Jackson. You never thought you'd see that coming. Jermaine Jackson. Number seven, an amazing soundtrack. And I would offer that the soundtrack might be better than the movie, to be honest with you. It's called Blue City. And Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy are in this. They're the lead actors. Billy Turner, your protagonist in this. Blue City was a really good movie. And again, Rock Hooter, the legendary blues player Rock Hooter, who also was performed some of the stuff in Crossroads that had Jamie Gertz, who I still have a crush on. Don't tell Dana. She knows, trust me. But yeah, great movie, and it's Blue City. Blue City is the name of the song. It's an instrumental, and anything that Rock Hooter plays guitar on is worth listening to. All right, number six, from the movie Wisdom, that also featured Demi Moore and Emilio Estevez. It was also Emilio Estevez's filmmaking debut. He wasn't just an actor. He was in charge. Charlie Sheen also makes a bit of a cameo in here. Kind of an interesting movie, to say the least. And I believe, if memory serves me correct, that Emilio Estevez and Demi Moore were engaged at the time. So from that movie, and I believe it's in the closing credits, it's Home Again by Oingo Boingo. Yeah, you know Oingo Boingo from Class? They did It's a Dead Man's Party. Remember that movie, Class? No, was it Class? Back to School, yeah. Back to School. Yeah, remember that one? Yeah, it's true. And they did Weird Science, too. Man, Kelly the Brock. All right, number five. We're gonna allow a cover here because of the great rendition here. Probably one of the best movies of the 80s. So many great one-liners from this movie. So it's a great story. In the end, everybody kind of figures out that, you know, the stoners and the preps are really not that much different. We have a lot of the same problems. We just kind of wear nicer clothes. But it's a Stray Cat's cover of 16 Candles from the movie 16 Candles. An absolutely iconic movie. Absolutely love it. Anytime that I'm flipping through and it's on, I watch it. I do. Okay, number four. A song written by somebody that I had some interaction with during my own musical career. Written by Robbie Neville. He was the lead writer on this track. It was recorded by Starship. Pretty impressive, right? It's Not Over Till It's Over. And that's from Fresh Horses. You know, are you familiar with that movie, Fresh Horses? It didn't do well. It's Andrew McCarthy and Molly Ringwald. And it's kind of like, it's about the time that things were kind of really, the Brat Pack was kind of losing its luster a bit. It was released in 1988. Didn't recoup its budget. Kind of a tough deal. All right. number three, from Pretty in Pink. Yeah, Molly Ringwald became America's sweetheart. She was in 16 Candles. You know, she was Samantha. She was kind of the protagonist in that one, kind of the main character. It was all kind of centered around, you know, her life and her family and her pursuit of Jack Ryan. It's true. But Pretty in Pink was a little bit different. And it was still kind of on brand for her. But this song was already very, very popular. But it's If You Leave by OMD, which stands for Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Number two. And John Parr had a big hit, been around for a little while, and he wrote the title track to St. Elmo's Fire. Now, St. Elmo's Fire basically had everybody in the Brat Pack with rare exception, right? You didn't have Anthony Michael Hall, and you didn't have Molly Ringwald, but you had everybody else. You had Emilio Estevez and Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy. It was kind of a coming of age. And you come to find out that it's kind of like social media is these days. People put their best foot forward around their friends group and their peer group. And there are a lot of people that aren't really friends. They're just kind of acquaintances that kind of eat up common space with you. And that's really what this movie's about. It's like everybody thinks we're really good friends. And then you get down to the end of it and you realize you don't really know each other that well. Everybody's got a demon. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet. Everybody's got a cross to bear. Great track. I'm going to be your man in motion. St. Elmo's Fire by John Parr. Number one, and what else could it be? What else could it be? In many ways, it was kind of the peak of the Brat Pack here. And you had Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, and Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, Nellie Sheedy, of course. It is the iconic Breakfast Club. And I couldn't wait for my kids to be old enough to be able to appreciate that. And Dan and I used to have 80s movie night with the kids. And this is one of the ones that they loved. And we would travel, and you know, you had that DVD player in the van, in the minivan, the little screen that, you know, slid down, and everybody watched it. And it was amazing. And it was so exciting for me to see my children identify with these characters and love them the way that I do. I'm going to give you another quick list here of some other movies that kind of feature. We didn't pick these, but if you're thinking about having 80s night with your kids, there's Tex that had Estevez and Dylan. There's War Games, was great. Bad Boys, the original, you know, with Ally Sheedy and Sean Penn, not the the cop movie with the great cop movies with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. Repo Man was great. No Small Affair with Demi and John Cryer, who was also in Pretty in Pink. Heaven Help Us was great. Weird Science with Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael Hall. Love that movie. One Crazy Summer, one of the best ones with Demi Moore and John Cusack. Love that one. Young Blood with Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze. They were hockey players, if you can believe it or not. The Pickup Artist with Molly Ringwald and Robert Downey Jr. Less Than Zero, which if you ever want to know, and I started to write a list about this on Facebook a while back. If you really want to know what it's like to be an addict, if you really want to know, watch Less Than Zero. Watch Less Than Zero. It's true. Watch it, I'm telling you. You probably don't watch it with your kids unless they're old enough to handle some serious stuff. But pretty crazy. You know, Jamie Gertz, and that great line in there, and says, her name was Star in the movie, said, "You don't look happy." And she goes, "But do I look good?" True. Mannequin, Andrew McCarthy with James Spader. That was great. Johnny B. Goode. That's a great football movie. It's about a football recruitment of Anthony Michael Hall, who was a blue chip quarterback who ultimately decides to do the right thing. Probably deserves a reboot in the NIL era. Young Guns, of course. Love those. The Young Guns movies. Kansas with Andrew McCarthy and Matt Dillon. We're No Angels with Demi Moore and Sean Penn. Young Guns 2, of course, which I think is superior to Young Guns 1. And then Bad Influence. And there's several others that are kind of Red Dawn's another one. But nevertheless, it was a great time in American cinema. It was a great time in our lives. It's a great time in music. And even though some of these were just kind of soundtrack songs, they weren't necessarily huge hits because they were in these movies, they just kind of set a mood for us. And I still contend to you the 80s was the best. Best fashion, best movies, best music. We had MTV. So much was happening at the time. And, we didn't have social media back then. I can only begin to imagine how big bands would have been if we'd had social media and MTV at the same time. Hey, did you watch this video? And people could, like, screenshot it for you and just, like, screen record it and put it in your group text. It'd be great. But, I go back. The days of the Swatch Watch and the Coca-Cola clothing and the acid wash jeans and us tight rolling stuff and wearing Reeboks and Avia shoes and Jordans and things like that. You look back at that stuff, and it was iconic. And even back then, we knew it was cool. And look back now, it's like, that stuff's pretty cool. In the middle of all of it, we knew that it was cool. Remember those painter's caps? Remember those? And then the painter's caps got cooler and had like the little neck flap on the back. And for many of us, the neck flap was not as long as our mullet, so it didn't necessarily fit real well. But you understand my point. The fashion of all that was great. And the music, absolutely iconic. And it's amazing that so many of these actors from those great movies in the 80s are still around today and still performing at a high level. I mean, really just kind of iconic. And one of my favorite Judd Nelson movies of all time is New Jack City. Oh, my gosh. We could talk about that all day. Scotty Appleton with Ice-T. Goodness. Before he was on Law & Order. It's true. Listened to Body Count the other day. Because that's me. Anyway, if you have ideas for the top 10 list, like Melanie, feel free to hit us up. Let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. You say, but Steve, I don't do Twitter. You can find me or Roy on Facebook, and we'll put you on the list. And trying to knock some of these out. Trying to get them knocked out. And I know Heath Hopkins has sent me a few. We're just trying to get caught up here. You know, we went a stretch there. We didn't do top 10 lists for a while. But anytime that we get a chance to celebrate music, celebrate great times in our lives, we should. Because, you know, music is the greatest time machine of all, right? You put these on, you remember, I remember when I was here. I was at Cloverleaf Mall, or I was at Metro Center, sitting in the food court. And this girl walked by and had her veins teased way too high, but she was so incredibly awesome in those high-waisted jeans and that polka dot shirt. I couldn't say no, right? That's what happens. And all of a sudden, a song comes on. What was that girl's name? Remember that time we did this, and we were down at the reservoir, went to the dock, and saw this band, blah, blah, blah. It's great, but hey, we're not done living, kids. We're not. Now we're passing that great culture and fashion down to our kids. It's true. Thanks, as always, for your support of the Top 10 List. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You will, too. I have loved them for a long time. If you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, and chances are you want it, right? And you're thinking, Steve, I got to get some new stuff on the walls. I need to get an area rug. I got a kid going to campus. They're moving in. I want to decorate the room, or they're leaving, and I want to decorate their room while they're gone, whatever. You can accommodate yourself and all your needs by going to Campus Bookmart. Go and see their smiling faces, the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the known universe. A lot of people make that claim, but they are pretenders to the throne. Campus Bookmart, getting it done. Now, if you can't make it to town, and maybe you live in the mission field, I don't know, Louisiana, Alabama, whatever, you can't make it to town, you can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Lawyer Boneyard listener, we can save you some money. We'll give you a promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over 75 bones. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Be sure and check it out. Plenty of baseball merch. Summer vacation is upon us. And, you know, Mom, you always like to buy a couple new outfits for the kids. Get them some Mississippi State merch. Get Dad some, too. Because you know as well as I do, no matter what you did for Dad, chances are, on Father's Day, I'm going to say it on his behalf, you're disappointed. It's true. It's true. Or maybe you go look online and say, hey, honey, what do you think about this? I'm thinking about ordering some stuff for the family. Do you think he'd look good in this new Mississippi State polo? And let me tell you this, Mom, yes, he would. Yes, he would. And you know it. So let's remedy that. Let's take care of that. Let's spoil Dad a little bit. It's true. I mean, you know, like when it's Mother's Day, I mean, you bring in a caterer and a band, and, you know, Father's Day, you just kind of leave that alone. And a lot of times we don't want to be left alone. It's true. We want that Facebook post. We want somebody to make us feel special every once in a while. We spend our lives making everybody else feel special, which, oh, I don't really want anything. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's just a manly thing to do, to say, no, I'm good. No. He wants it. He does. He wants it, and he wants somebody to make him feel special. It's true. I'm speaking on behalf of all of us. And right now, you're looking at your husband. Is that true, honey? Oh, no, that ain't me. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Don't even ask him. Just go buy the shirt. Go buy him the shirt. CampusBookmart.net, promo code BSR. All right. Brooklyn news this morning over JeansPage.com, of course, with a new baseball commitment. And that's three. And it's nice, too, man. I like this one a lot. I'll tell you, Noah Sullivan, I had a chance to talk to him, really excited about him. And he is a guy, too, that can help us in three different ways. He can be a designated hitter. He can be a pitcher. He's not a pitcher long-term. He's just a competitive guy. Got some pretty good numbers, though. But he is kind of a pitch-to-contact guy. I don't know how well that's going to go over in the SEC. But also can play a little bit of first base. But let's kind of track his career here. Because I know you guys are like, Steve, listen, I don't know. I don't know anything about this guy. And I appreciate your honesty, because there are a lot of other people that won't admit that. They'll just go out there, hey, this guy stinks, this guy's great, and they have no clue what they're talking about. But Noah Sullivan, a product of Dr. Phillips High School out of Orlando, and they're known for being a really good football-producing program over the years. But let's look at some career numbers here. Here's what's interesting to me. This is a guy that has played a lot of baseball and has not lost but one game as a pitcher. You said, but Steve, then let's let him pitch. Well, I just don't think that's where his strengths lie. And also, too, maybe where it helps us. Does that make sense? We need him swinging the bat. We do.
Now, product of 21, redshirted, was named a freshman All-American in 2022. Did you know that? I don't know if you did. As a sophomore, pitched a little bit, not a whole lot, but pitched, had a one over a strikeout per inning, had a save. Opponents hit it just 100 against him. But he was more of a late inning middle reliever. I think we can use him some in midweek and or, you know, late in ball games, whatever. I don't think he's a true bona fide closer. But we talk about guys making a jump, right? I mean, that's the thing. You know, at some point, guys have to make a jump to become bona fide prospects. Now, I don't think that he is a real draft concern. And that's one of the things you got to worry about. You know, three seasons removed from high school or 21 years of age, guys are draft eligible. So he was the fourth leading hitter on his team with a 324 batting average, but he was second in OPS at 1.066. Only Jace Reinhart was a little bit better. But Noah, again, hit 324, 66 hits and 204 at-bats. Right? Eight doubles, 17 tanks. And this is a team that hit a lot of home runs. It's true. As a group, they had 108. They gave up a bunch, too. It's funny. He's 5 for 5 in stolen bases, but he's really not that guy. He's like 6'1", 225 pounds. Kind of a part of a double steal, maybe, you know. And they didn't run the bases a ton up there. But this is the guy that could be your designated hitter, maybe your four-hole hitter next year. But he's going to hit in the heart of the order. On the pitching side of things, it's rather interesting because I've had some people tell me, you know, he just doesn't have dynamic stuff. He's just kind of a competitor, just kind of guts it out. He had the second lowest ERA among regulars on the team, 4.88, which isn't stellar. But in that league, in that ballpark, maybe that's good. He had an 8-1 record, though. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. 8-1 record, 14 appearances, 12 of them were starts. He worked 75.2 innings, which was second on the team, only behind Hunter Prager, who was their best pitcher, who had 15 starts. So you begin to think about that. He had three more starts and only threw five more innings, right? We're giving up about a hit per 76 and then allowed 42 runs, 22 walks against 51 strikeouts. So not a lot of swing and miss there, but he had 10% of the team strikeouts. Like even Henry Prager, their leading pitcher, only had 59 strikeouts. Yeah, so kind of standard for the staff there. And again, maybe that's pitching philosophy. Maybe Justin Parker can find something with him. But he is a guy that expects to be in lineup every day, whether it be as a pitcher or as a DH. And again, maybe he's your midweek guy. I don't know. Ideally, you'd like to have a younger guy there to kind of groom him to be a weekend guy for next year. But I do think he is a guy that can help us. But his velo is not – he's not a 90-plus guy. I'm told he maxes out, you know, 87, 89. Must have a little bit of a downward bite to it. But, you know, the average against, not necessarily great, 262. You know, so he's a pitch to contact guy, but he's not walking a ton of hitters. He's not hitting a ton of hitters. He's just up there, you know, making the defense work for him. But and just 9 home runs allowed. And you got to think, this is a guy again, second most innings pitch allowed his 9 home runs, which was I guess 6th fewest on the team. Even Prager gave up 13. You know, they had a couple more that were 10s and 214s. But again, it's coming together. Right? And so now you're like, okay, Steve, this is great. We've got our third baseman in Garrick Fry. He had 15 jacks last year with no protection around him. We think that he can be a dude for us. And some of your current players feel the same way. And I got Sawyer Reeves coming in. He's a middle infielder. Could play some at second. Could play some at short. Could be kind of a utility guy for us. But, got to hit 5 jacks last year. But you look at his profile and you feel like, you know, mechanically, and you get him in a weight room a little bit, maybe he turns into a guy that hits 8, 9, 10 bombs next year. Maybe. Maybe. And now you go get, Sullivan. And so it's very offensive-minded so far. And Sullivan was a guy that was getting chased by, South Carolina and Arkansas, Kentucky and others. We're recruiting. People say, but Steve, you know, these guys are not from Power 5 programs. And I've shared this on the program before. Guys, give me the ascending G5 guy over the reject Power 5 guy. I don't want a guy from LSU that couldn't get on the field. I don't want a guy from South Carolina that couldn't get on the field. Now, I may rethink that on South Carolina, because if it's a pitcher that Justin Parker recruited, yeah, I probably want that kid. But you understand my point. I don't want a guy that has already proven he can't play in our league. Those guys need to go and fill these gaps of these players that are sending up from the G5. Now, can you make a living with all those guys? You know, I don't know that you can. You know, last year you went out and got a pair of Power 5 weekend arms, right? Carson Ligon was the former Friday night guy at Miami. He had some ups and downs with us, but you know, hopefully he can have like a Tyler Davis rise next year, right? Cal Steven was a guy that was, you know, basically, he was a weekend starter, but he was kind of middle-of-the-pack guy in a middle-of-the-pack league, and then he comes here and he ends up being an All-American. You know, so I got a lot of faith in Justin Parker. If he wants these guys, I want these guys, and I'm eager to see who Parker gets. We need a couple left-handed pitchers. We really do. You know, we've had a couple leave, and we've had five guys go in the portal, and we've added three. And we got a good signing class coming in. I'm not going to sit here and say it's elite signing class, because I don't know that I believe that yet. And we'll see when they get on campus. You know, the rankings certainly don't suggest that this is like, you know, one of the better camps, better classes in the country. But we should be able to retain just about everybody, with maybe one or two exceptions. But you know, my point being is that I think we are in a good position with the portal. Some other people will tell you, oh, well, look at what, you know, South Carolina and Kentucky. I mean, guys, we talk about the standards that we use to evaluate our football recruiting class. I wish you would use them to evaluate other people's portal baseball recruiting classes. It's like, oh, they're just filling up on numbers. Well, you know, really? Why does that only apply to Mississippi State? Because I tell you what, the three guys that we have in the baseball portal, every one of them had multiple SEC offers, and many of them had multiple SEC visits. And if we hadn't signed them and they had gone to Kentucky or South Carolina or Arkansas and all, we're like, well, why didn't we go get that kid? You know, there's just so much of that too. It's like there are a lot of people exercise the right to express their ignorance on topics regularly, and social media has provided a vehicle for that. But I will say this, the commitment of Noah today has been pretty well received. People are like, you know what, hey, this is a good get for us. I think all of them are good gets, to be honest with you. And again, we talk about, you know, following the visits and follow that kind of stuff, because like baseball guys don't even after they commit, they really don't like to talk about the offers that they had. They really don't. And I think a lot of that's just that there's a respect between schools. You know, it's like, you know, we really don't want to make anybody look bad. You know, but there's I've seen some people say, you know what, Steve, I wish there was more transparency with this. Let me tell you this. I don't care anything about that aspect of it. And let me tell you why. Number one, if this information was put out there, like say for an example, if I went out there and put a list out there of, you know, 25 names that I have heard mentioned in connection with Mississippi State's portal activities, I can't quantify that. They say, hey, you know, Jake Gautreaux was up here in the Cape and he watched this kid for two games. It's clear State's interested, right? Well, that's just a third party's assessment of the situation. And let's say, example, you know, there's a first baseman out there. Like, oh, well, I saw him watch his kid hit. Well, then how do we know we actually offered that guy? Do we invite him in for a visit? Right? Or maybe we're just there watching somebody else entirely. And so you got to be careful about the information you get, because all of a sudden it paints this narrative. Oh, there's 25 players that I'm aware of that we've gone to see or whatever. You get that sourcing. And then all of a sudden they go somewhere else and people are like, hey, well, we're losing in the portal. So you got to be careful what you do and what you say. I want to be honest with you guys. And there was a time a couple years ago that anytime that I heard anything, I put it out there. I put it out there. People got all excited about it until the guys started going somewhere else. And again, a lot of those times we don't know for sure if they were even a priority target. And people are like, oh, well, I don't understand why they're so secretive. Guys, we didn't even have this kind of coverage years ago. You know, I remember when I broke Scotty DeBrule's commitment to Mississippi State as a grad transfer out of Jacksonville, right? I got that from a friend in the industry that heard it at a Cape Cod game. It's like, yeah, the kid from Jacksonville, the DeBrule kid, is transferring to Mississippi State. I just got lucky. You know, but again, I built this network of sources over my career. And so when people hear things, they're like, hey, I just want to catch up, man. But also, too, I heard this. Maybe that can help you. And I do the same things for them. But a friend in the industry is like, hey. And so next thing you know, I'm trying to find out, is this true? And lo and behold, it was true. And, of course, Scotty DeBrule won an AFL championship at Mississippi State. You know, but think about that. We didn't have all this, but the transfer portal thing wasn't even a thing then. It kind of got up and rolling that year. And, again, I tell you, I don't think we were aggressive enough in the portal following the AFL championship year. I think we were a little bit melancholy and nostalgic and like, hey, you know, I don't want to run these kids off because we all won an AFL championship together and I don't want to be that guy. I get that aspect of it. But it is now a huge part of what we're doing. And so we're all getting up to speed, trying to figure out the right way to do things. And I know that you guys have a desire and a want and in some respects a right to know. But I'm not going to put anything out there that's going to put us in a bad position. What I mean by that is like, if I can't quantify that this guy's a bona fide target, I'm not going to put it out there. I think it's better for me to just, once I kind of get some tips, hey, this may happen, and you get on the phone, you call a few other people, you call some other friends in the industry and say, hey, have you heard anything about this kid going to Mississippi State? And then you can go report that. You know, that's important to understand. So I just shared that with you because I know it's we want to know before there's anything to know. And we just want to know we're going to be okay. That's what you want me to tell you. And I can tell you, I don't know that. I can tell you that so far I'm pleased with the progress that we've made and that I have a ton of confidence that Justin Parker is going to find some arms that everybody, as soon as they commit, people can be like, you know what, I don't care. If Parker wants him, that's good enough for me, right? And I would love for us to get to the point that we felt that way about all of our kids. That all the guys that come in, hey, if our staff wants these guys who won an AFL championship, who went to Omaha 3 years in a row, if those guys want a kid, then I want them too. But I know many of you are not ready to measure out that grace, right? And I get it, you know. But your roster is coming together. But and I feel good about what we've got, but we need to get, I think, one outfielder at a minimum. And we got to get a first baseman, and hopefully he's a left-hander. So we need some left-handed power. You know, we hope Logan Kohler would be a double-digit home run guy from the left side. We didn't really have that this year. A lot of talk about Nolan Stevens playing right field when he's not pitching. That's a nice left-handed bat. Got a big swing. That's important too, right? In addition to that, you got to get arms. And do you get a backup catcher out there? You know, I mean, is that another insurance policy for Ross Highfield, who I hear is on track? But then you also wonder, too, what are we going to do with Joe Powell? I mean, if Joe's back, if we're able to get another year for Joe, because, you know, the clock continues to run even if you take a hiatus from baseball. If we can get that handled, and I don't even know if we're pursuing that. I don't know if Joe's interested in that. But if you get that done, then maybe not. But if Joe's going to move on, you probably need another catcher. You probably need one. It's a lot of innings to catch. And then Ross Highfield, of course, just kind of getting back and, you know, Tommy John surgery, that's a 12-year deal, a 12-month deal. Now, of course, he's not pitching as much. So there's not as much wear and tear. But, you know, we want Ross to be 100%. We don't want to roll him out there in February in the cold weather and he not be quite there. He's such a competitive kid. He's not going to tell you. He's going to go out there and try to get the job done. So maybe you take a backup catcher out there. Maybe. I don't know. But I would suspect it's 4 to 5 more guys in the portal, with probably 3 of those guys being arms for sure, and then we'll see. You know, I think you got to get a couple starters and maybe go find somebody that can be a bona fide closer, because, you know, that was the difference in about half a dozen wins this year, right? And so you got to address that. Of course, you know, Stone Simmons could be a part of that too, but I don't know if we can count on that. You know, love Stone to death. I do love that guy to death, man. But you know, that was the thing you think about last year. You know, Mekhi Grant, we expect him to be back. He was another guy that was going to be on the back end. And so you kind of forget about those guys. You're like, hey, we didn't have a closer. Well, some of the guys that were expected to be the closer will be back next year. You know, and Brooks Auger was a guy, you know, we didn't have him last year. And pitched some big innings for State this year. Of course, his performance in Hoover, one that we'll never forget, right? But you've got to have some other guys that can come in and contribute and be a part of this thing. And so we'll keep you updated over at jeanspage.com. Now's a great time to join. We had football camps, basketball camps, covering all the stuff. And I got some baseball camps coming up too. But a lot of baseball news to come, and certainly a ton of football. We're going to host 20, 25 visitors this weekend. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group of people to town, or maybe you're just thinking about it, like, you, Steve, I've heard you talk about it. It'd be great to just get all my college friends together, maybe a high school reunion of sorts. just your core group, right? Look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, that great big back porch area. You got the fire pit outside. I know it's getting warm, but you know what? There's something nice about sitting around a fire and just kind of reminiscing, you know? Yeah. You know I'm telling the truth. Or maybe it's a work group. Maybe you're bringing a group in. Maybe you got some things to do on campus. I don't know. But I know this. There is no better place in the Golden Triangle than to than to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, whenever you get ready to book, I'm going to encourage you to Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page is going to come up, and you can watch, you know, look at the pictures, check out all the amenities, and some booking options are going to come up too. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO, but if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you some money. Promo code BSR10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to our show. How cool is that? Super cool, right? So I share that with you because, eventually I'm going to get all the kids back to town and get a little more room there at Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We're going to rent it out. And with the kids out of school, it doesn't have to be a weekend. Dad can take some time. He's got some vacation time. Maybe you're saying, Steve, I can't get the kids down to Disney, or we can't get down to the Redneck Riviera this year. We just want to go somewhere and just be together. And maybe you bring grandma in. Maybe you bring in your favorite aunt and uncles. And everybody just comes and stays. You got a full-service kitchen there. You can go buy some groceries, and everybody can take turns cooking. You got a wet bar, too, if you want to have an adult beverage after the kids go to school, sleep. It's true. Check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right. Don't have a lot of time left. The day kind of got away from me, but I wanted to share a few things with you, too, as we get ready to finalize the writing process for The Dude. And if you hadn't pre-ordered, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can pre-order the book. It'll be out late August, early September. That's for everybody. People that pre-order, and it says, 6 to 8 weeks, whatever, something like that. And then they start messaging me immediately, hey, when's some book shipping? It is a pre-order. The book is not printed yet. It will be soon, but it's not yet. But I wanted to share with you a couple things, too. The Duty Noble experience was it encompassed some very important times in American world history, as we discussed before. But I think in so many respects, there were so many people that have heard Duty Noble Field. I think some people may even think it was a donor, right? It's true. Like, there's Polk Dement Stadium. Dement's a donor, right? The Mize Pavilion. Buzzy Mize, right? A donor. Duty Noble was a dude. A player, coach, administrator. And one of the things, too, that I've learned, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I know that some of you are delicate flowers, especially people that are in my industry sometimes. And I hate it when I'm wrong about something. I do. But in my research, I've read, like, columns by respected people over the years that would spell Duty's name wrong. You know, it'd be Nobles, right, or N-O-B-E-L. And then we've got people that are, his first win was over Mississippi State as a football coach when he was at Mississippi College. That's actually not true. You know, of course, we found that some records were incomplete during his baseball career there at Ole Miss. We've been able to fix that. And you guys are well aware, I've been able to reconcile the state Ole Miss baseball series record, and Ole Miss has accepted our changes. And so, when the new media guide comes out, everybody will have the same information. How cool is that? I'm actually going to do some other things for Ole Miss, too, because I found some other games, too, that weren't listed in their media guide. Just because I am that kind of guy, right? We want to get it right. And when Val was working through the Vanderbilt numbers this year, I saw they were missing an entire year. And of course, they're just three games played that year, and I was able to find, you know, the accountings for those games and get them to you. And this is not about an I thing, but it just, again, underscores the importance of writing these historical books, because so many people, you begin to think, okay, well, I got to assume that everybody before me did their job. Everybody before me was correct in what they did. And nobody has time to look these days. And I just don't think there's a lot of people that are digging for that stuff, too. I found some errors in our records, too. Very few, but I found some errors in our records, too. I think it's important to go back and validate what we know and what we think. And so I share that with you because there's some things, like on the basketball side, too, it's very interesting, too. You know, during the Great Depression, it was 1 year we didn't have a team. You know, we just didn't do it. And that's one of the things, too, that I think, we've got some very, very, very passionate basketball fans in our fan base. And one of the things that I would suggest to you is for about 40 years, we really didn't have any emphasis on basketball whatsoever. It's true. And when Dirty Noble was a player, you know, we won 3 SIAA championships in what, 4 or 5 years? We didn't win again. We didn't win a league title again until we got Babe McCarthy in the late 50s. So we're talking 4 decades of kind of drifting through the wilderness, and there was just no emphasis whatsoever put on basketball. We even hired Paul Gregory kind of as a baseball coach in waiting and had him coach a basketball team. And he was a baseball guy. He lettered in basketball, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like we just pulled somebody off the streets. But we didn't have a big commitment to basketball for many, many, many years. And the same could be said to women's basketball. Once we got ready to put a team out there, we just kind of put a team out there. It wasn't a big commitment. I would say, you know, Coach Sharon Fanning Otis, of course, the most important coach in our history until we hired Vic Schaefer. But I think Coach Otis showed that, hey, you can win at Mississippi State. And we didn't put a ton of resources in it. And so when I see and hear so many people talk about we need to invest in basketball. You know, and I would say, you know, yes, we do. We do. And, you know, we renovated the hump, and things are a lot nicer than they were. Probably not as nice as they could be. You know, building the hump when we built it probably wasn't the best of decisions. But, you know, we made the best decision we could at the time. We thought it was the best decision. But we don't have near the basketball history that I think that we deserve. Our tradition on the basketball side. And people are like, oh, but Steve, we had this. Guys, you know, you think about that Greg Carter team in 91. You know, that was the first time in forever that we won an SEC championship. And so I share that because there are a lot of people that say, hey, we deserve more fan support. And I think this is an era under Chris Jans that we can kind of feel like, you know, hey, this is a time for us to kind of correct the record a little bit. And I think that's important. You know, so rather than to kind of stay home, I think about our era as fans of Mississippi State. And you'll read about a lot of this stuff in The Dude. I mean, because I don't just write about baseball. There's football and there's administrative things and basketball and baseball. It's basically everything that kind of happened, you know, during his life. And the thing that was evident to me is that basketball was kind of treated like, you know, a stepchild in many respects. And, you know, baseball obviously was obviously, you know, the sport that Dudy excelled at. He was good at all of them, but you know, he was really a baseball guy at heart. And so football paid for everything, but obviously baseball, because we were winning at a high level, you know, a lot of that money went to baseball. And so I think that it's important for us to know our history in every sport, and that in many respects, I think this is where, you know, Zach Selman maybe sees things a little differently than some other people, good, bad, or indifferent. I think Zach is the guy that's going to make sure we take care of men's basketball and women's basketball at the same time. And so when you read The Dude, you're going to read some basketball stuff. And some of it, if you love men's basketball, is going to kind of make you angry. And then all of a sudden we hire Babe McCarthy. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I think we just kind of caught lightning in a bottle with Babe. He was a high school coach and an SEC official. It's not like he had a ton of experience. He'd coached some in the military, but it wasn't one of those situations where you just look at it and say, this is a no-brainer hire. I think we might have actually tried to take the cheap way out. It just worked out for us. You know, there was a lot of trepidation about the hiring of Babe McCarthy. And then, of course, he shows up and he's absolutely outstanding. And I had a chance to interview Bailey Howell recently.
And Bailey said X's and O's wasn't his strong suit. He was just a great motivator of young men. He understood how to bring guys together and meld them into a team. I think it's very, very important. There are a lot of guys out there that are very analytical, but don't have, you know, the personal side of it. And I think that's important to understand. And again, as always, thanks for all you guys that have purchased books. We've been selling a lot more all of a sudden. You know, all of a sudden now that dude's coming out, people are like buying other books. I had a book signing in Kosciuszko, and we sold a ton of sports books there. You know, it was go to libraries. I mean, if you sell 15, 20 books, you feel like you've had a good night. We had a good night. But I want to thank everybody that turned out for that. Brent Orr was there too, from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Just happened to be in the state at the time. Thought he'd come by and say hello. And so I appreciate everybody that came out and all of you that bought books. And again, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can pre-order a new book. And then in addition to that, you can buy all of the sports titles and When the Bottom Falls there too. So go ahead and update your catalog. I'm going to get out of here. We're a little bit short today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Listen, I love each and every one of you and hope things are going well in your life. And if they're not, remember that it's not going to last forever. It's not. The moment will pass if we let it. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.